All right, I have a couple notes here. I'm here to introduce the next seminar. So hello and welcome to The Invisible Ingredient, Safety Considerations for Compressed Gases in Brewing Facilities. My name is Eric Richardson. I work at Pizzaport Brewing in San Diego. Title down there is the Director of Facilities and Operations. I also volunteer with the BA on the technical committee, primarily through the engineering subcommittee. If you guys aren't doing anything after this seminar, come join us for a drink at the seminar or the subcommittee meetups. Those are right after this. Before we get started, everybody, please take your seats. I guess I'm talking to Chuck back there. He's the only one standing. There's plenty of space in here, so no need to move to the center of the aisle. But please turn off any cell phones, silence those so there's no interruptions. We're going to be taking questions during the seminar via Slido. There will be a slide momentarily that you can scan a QR code. If you don't grab that QR code at the start, don't worry. There will be one at the end of the presentation as well, but it's a great way to feed those questions as the presentation's happening so that they can be addressed at the end. And then finally, at the end of the seminar, please make sure to submit the seminar feedback survey. It's a short two-question survey associated with the seminar, and it's in the official CBC 2022 mobile app. For the seminar, you can find the fill-out survey button for the survey in the app below the seminar description. And that feedback's very helpful for the Brewers Association to continue to provide better brewing education in the future. And now for a more specific introduction. So I'd like to introduce Laura Brumsey. She's the Vice President of the Vice President Operations and Administration at the Compressed Gas Association. Laura's led the development of the End User Safety Communications Program at the Compressed Gas Association. This program aims to translate technically dense standards into key safety considerations. She spent the last year and a half working with end users like craft breweries and cannabis operators to understand how they use gases and what information they need to operate safely. She noted it's been a very tough job visiting all those breweries to learn, but somebody has to do it. I personally am surprised it was tougher to visit the breweries than the cannabis operators, but I am from California, so. So with no further ado, I would like to invite Laura up here, and we can get started with the seminar.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Eric. I really appreciate the introduction. To give you all a little bit of background about the Compressed Gas Association, we are a standards development organization. We write and maintain a library of about 375 safety publications on every aspect of compressed gas production, transport, use, handling, and general safety. We're not an inspection body. We're not an enforcement body. We're here with a sole goal and mission to provide safety information to help everyone who interacts with our industry's products go home in the same condition that they arrive to work at the end of the day when they've used our gases. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. As Eric mentioned, we recently, about 2 years ago, expanded our scope. And that means that instead of writing safety publications that are just by engineers for engineers, I've had the responsibility of distilling those down into pieces of information that anyone can use. Also, your conferences and particularly your samples are way more exciting than I usually get at a compressed gas event. Our technical team is still really upset that they got the hydrogen event this week and I got to come to the beer conference. So hopefully they'll forgive me for that in a little while. As Eric mentioned, Slido is open for this session. So if you want to grab that link, it's up there on the screen. Feel free to submit your questions throughout the session today and we'll save time at the end for Q&A. This is a older picture of me pre-pandemic. My project was growing out my hair and eating snacks, so that's what I used to look like about 2 years ago. But wanted to kind of open up with a discussion on why compressed gas safety is important and why it's important to take kind of a proactive role about this in your organizations. Because I realized that you had a lot of options today to go to other probably more exciting topics. And I truly want to kind of drive home the why this session should mean a lot to you. And the first piece of that is about self-regulation. And self-regulation happens when state and federal authorities trust you in your industry enough to know that you'll be proactive about safety, that you'll be responsive to any incidents that occur, and that you'll be credible in those responses, that you will make a good faith effort at resolving those safety issues so that they don't recur again. That protects you from unwanted regulation from outside sources. None of us, my industry included, want people who don't know our specific businesses, our processes, our tools that we use, writing regulations for us. We want to be in the driver's seat for those. So making sure that you've got safe operations actually helps protect the brewing industry from unwanted advances from OSHA and other regulatory agencies. And in that same line, it also protects your businesses from citations during inspections and things like that. One of the things that I saw listed over and over again in brewing blogs and industry media about OSHA violations were about failure to communicate hazards and failure to provide general safe workplaces free from known hazards. And hopefully what I can do today is give you some very basic tips on some things that you can go back and look at in your own facilities to make sure that you're not experiencing those citations and that you're sending your people home safely at the end of the day. So where we're going to focus for today is safe handling and use of cylinders and containers, carbon dioxide hazards, additional gas hazards, and resources that you can use to communicate this information within your companies. So I'm going to start with safe handling and use of cylinders and containers. And I'm going to be honest with you, I got some questions about this when I added it to my slide deck. Because most of you don't do a lot with individual cylinders or with portable liquid containers. Most of what you're worried about is your bulk systems that are providing gas from usually outside of your facility. But in preparation for this event, about 3 months ago, I had a really wild Saturday night, and I decided to spend some time on the OSHA database for the 300A report. The number one most commonly reported lost time injury related to gases in brew facilities, and specifically at craft brew facilities, comes from cylinder handling incidents. Most of these occurred when an employee had a crush injury related to trying to catch a falling cylinder, related to try and move a cylinder without using a cylinder cart, or when they were trying to move a cylinder off of a raised area like a loading dock or a truck and into a facility. Number one most commonly reported incident at craft brew facilities were related to cylinder handling, which honestly surprised me a little bit. But luckily, we as an industry share that same statistic among our packaged gas plants, and that's where gases get put into to cylinders, so they have similar kind of handling operations. So we have spent a lot of time around looking at basic safety instructions for users and how to improve this within our own industry, and I think you'll find some of this useful too. We've distilled it down into five basic user responsibilities. So the number one thing that you should be asking your employees to do is to read the SDS that comes with a gas package that comes to your facility. That's the safety data sheet. It should be provided by your supplier. If you don't have them, you should be able to ask your supplier and get those easily. It's also a great practice to have these available in a binder somewhere near your gas handling area that people can readily access. Those SDS sheets provide really great basic information about hazards and safe handling considerations that anybody should know from the minute they start working with the gas. The second thing, and this really starts to get to where we see the safe handling injuries related to cylinders and portable containers, are understanding the risks to safe use of that specific vessel and really looking at the area where it's going to be stored. Now, because you all tend to not have a lot of cylinders loose in your facilities, they tend to be shoved off into some corner, kind of standing mixed amongst other stuff. And the thing that I would encourage you to take a look at is, what are the potential kind of interruptions to this space where your cylinders are stored? Could they be knocked over by a pallet jack or a forklift? Are they in an area where people are regularly walking and passing through and could easily knock them over or kind of disturb them? Are they in with other materials that may not be safe for being around those cylinders? And things like that. Number three is maintaining the cylinder in good working condition with no damage or modifications. You would be surprised how often we see cylinders come back where someone has tried to fix a problem and inadvertently made it worse. If you have a PRD, a pressure relief device, safety valve, that is leaking on your cylinder, a lot of people have taken creative ways to try and plug those or something like that. That's not a good idea. You should be calling your supplier in that case. We also want to make sure that any unintentional damage or anything like that gets reported, that that cylinder gets removed from service. And that leads into point number four, storing, handling, and using the cylinder so that it's not going to be damaged. And the two biggest things that I'll say here that we noticed as we went around to many different facilities over the last about a year and a half is making sure that your cylinders are restrained in some way when they're standing in your facility so that they can't be knocked over, they can't accidentally be bumped into. And also making sure that when your cylinder's not in active use anymore, that whatever valve protection that your supplier provided with that cylinder is put back in place. So if there was a cap that came with that cylinder, that should be back over top of the valve. If you have a valve ring, whatever that is, should be back in place. If you ever want to spend like a fun 3 minutes of your life, you can go on YouTube, and I'm pretty sure you can find the MythBusters episode where they showed what happened when somebody knocked over a cylinder and sheared a valve off of it. It shot through two layers of cinder block wall. So they can rock it pretty impressively, and it's really important to make sure that those protection mechanisms are in place. And then, of course, you want to report any damage or problems to your gas supplier immediately. So these are just five really simple things that you can train your employees on and make sure that you're incorporating into your everyday practices to avoid those cylinder safety issues that are a prevalent source of injury in basically any cylinder handling operation. And based on the facilities that we saw, the people that we talked to, we came up with a list of four action items for you to consider in your facilities related to cylinder handling. Number one, again, is securing your cylinders. This can be done with a few dollars of chain from your local hardware store. You don't need a fancy rack or anything like that. You need chain. I will say make sure it's chained to something stable. I did see one that was chained into the foam wall of a walk-in cooler. That's not going to do a lot of good if it tips over. Those cylinders are pretty heavy. But make sure they're restrained in some way. Use a cart designed for the cylinders or containers that you're moving. We saw a lot of people trying to hand roll cylinders, dragging cylinders by the valve, and that is how you get a lot of those crush injuries to people's feet and lower legs. Again, cylinder cart is not a significant investment and is something that can really take a lot of strain off of your employees when it comes to lifting and moving things, and also avoids those drop injuries where people can really get seriously injured. One of the things that I think is unique about your facilities are the miles of piping that are present connecting your gas systems to your point of use systems. Make it part of your common practice to leak check your connections when you make a new connection to a cylinder and to periodically evaluate that piping. We did see a couple of instances where the piping was starting to split or crack, particularly in the walk-in coolers where it's subject to colder temperatures and things like that. That piping can get a little more brittle. And you don't want a situation where you're leaking the gas product that you're paying for into your operation space, and particularly not into an enclosed space. And last, but definitely not least on this topic, make sure you're talking to your gas supplier. If you have a concern about how your equipment is operating, if you're seeing more frost than normal on your gas systems, if you are periodically running into a situation where your gas system is unable to withdraw a product and you're having to wait for a day or so for that system to come back online again, that needs to be a conversation with your gas supplier. They should be able to help you resolve those issues and make sure that you have a reliable supply and that any issues with your equipment are addressed and that you understand if there's a strange noise or something that's coming from it, because they do make a lot of different interesting noises, what's going on with that. So, to keep things moving into carbon dioxide hazards, this is an area where nearly every person that we talked to was very conscientious of the hazards and very, very focused on ensuring safety. And I really do commend everyone for the focus on making sure that the people in your brew facilities understand this, that you're conscious and aware of it. So there were a couple of things that popped up in conversation as we kind of went around to different breweries that I thought it was worth touching on today.